Welcome to Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis, your campus and community radio station. My name is Andy Jones, and you've tuned in, lucky you, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, the weekly radio show where we interview poets, pundits, prognosticators, technology wonks, people who create things. They might create books or poems or websites. They might create sounds that sound very nice when you play them together. Creativity is the key, and this week is no exception. For I'll be welcoming two recent graduates of UC Davis, both of them award-winning creative writers. The first, on the live line from San Francisco, will be Jane Wilson. She was the longtime fiction editor, in fact, the founding fiction editor of UC Davis's undergraduate literary arts magazine, Nameless Magazine. That'll take much of the first half hour of this program, and we'll hear a story or an excerpt of a story from Jane Wilson of San Francisco and find out what she's been doing since she graduated, these 8 months ago. And then we'll hear from Bryony Gogaton, another UC Davis graduate who's won multiple awards for her poetry. And we'll also ask Bryony to read some of her work. That, a poem by Galway Connell, and the jazz of Cab Calloway. Everything that you've come to expect, should you expect anything from your favorite poetry and technology program. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back.
Hoo-la-la, it's a lonely tune.
Hoo-la-la,
you can swing it too.
Hoo-la-la-la,
you can chime in on the jive, jive, jive.
Hoo-la-la,
it's a simple rhythm.
Ooh,
with an easy lift. That's the rhythm of the jive, jive, jive. You have to fix this tempo. Ooh, don't let it get slow. Beat on out on that jive, Joe. Stop. Start to jive again. Now you got this track. Ooh, you can really ride. That's the secret of the jive, jive, jive.
Every day on this program that we get to hear the music of Cab Calloway. This is the first track from Are You Hep to the Jive on Legacy's Rhythm and Soul series, which reads in part, like no other performer in the world ever did or ever will, Cab Calloway lights the hearts and imaginations of his audience. In his energy and innovation, Calloway brings his music to life and in the process turns his shows into raucous, righteous musical carnivals. Well, someone else who's raucous and righteous is joining us here on the live line this afternoon from San Francisco. Her name is Jane Wilson, a recent graduate of the UC Davis English program. Jane Wilson is a prize-winning fiction writer and avid blogger, thereby combining the worlds of creativity and technology. She writes contents for such blogs as Hey, Subliterate, and Don't Fail Me, Sweet Degree. Awards for her fiction include a fellowship to the prestigious Tamales Bay Writers Workshop and a second place for fiction in the 2010 Pamela Mouse Contest for Creative Writing. Founding member of Davis's undergraduate literary arts magazine, Nameless Magazine, and senior fiction editor for 3 years, Jane Wilson now works at various literary agencies. We're going to ask her to name them. She works discovering hidden gems in the slush pile. She currently resides in San Francisco and is working on her autobiography, Dark Chocolate for Dark Times. And I'm very glad to welcome her back to this program. Jane Wilson, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hello. It's so good to be back.
It's great.
I'm a little nervous, as always.
Don't be nervous. You'll do just fine. We'll start with a few easy questions. Now, there's a chance that my daughter and my wife will be listening. And so they will want to know, Jane Wilson, since the last time you were on this radio program, have you learned how to ride a bike?
The answer is still no, unfortunately. I've been riding the bus, though.
Well, that's something.
Is new. Not really, but kind of new. And I recently, I've decided that I'm actually going to try to learn how to drive, which is a big step for me.
That is a big step, because there are big hills there in your home city of San Francisco.
Yeah, there are. It's scary stuff. But I heard that if you can learn how to drive in San Francisco, you can probably learn how to drive anywhere.
You could get across the whole country then.
Pretty much. I'm scared.
You'll do fine.
That's my one venture in learning how to get myself places.
Adventures in Transportation with Jane Wilson.
It sounds like another blog. I should probably start doing that too.
Definitely. Go see if the URL is available after we're finished. But meanwhile, you've been busy. You graduated, was it in December?
March.
You graduated in March. Here it is July. English majors everywhere are wondering, what have you been doing since you graduated? Many people would wonder if it's just a series of retail or food service industry jobs, but you actually have some relevant work.
Isn't that amazing? I thought I wasn't going to find anything until I went off to grad school.
It's miraculous. But good thing you live in San Francisco. Tell us about some of the literary work that you're doing, Jane Wilson.
Okay, well, let's see. I started working at Veritas Literary Agency in San Francisco.
How do you spell that?
V-E-R-I-T-A-S.
Okay.
And it's this really great literary agency in San Francisco, represented by Catherine Boyle, who is kind of my agent mentor, kind of, I suppose, in my career path. And basically what I do there is I'm an editorial associate, so I'm in charge of reading everything that comes into the slush pile, so mostly novel manuscripts. Occasionally we'll get memoirs, like we have this memoir from like an Iowa writer, actually, which we're pretty excited about. So I'm just kind of in charge of wading through that and trying to find gems in the lush tapestry of soon-to-be books or would-be books, I guess. And I don't know, I like to say that I go on kind of a power trip.
Sure.
Because I get to, you know, that kind of decision-making is huge. Gets to your head sometimes. So I'm in charge of doing that, and then I also read a lot of literary magazines to try to find writers who aren't represented yet and try to woo them to come join us, join some West Coast writers. Woohoo!
And what's in it for you and what's in it for them if they join you?
Well, what's in it for them is actually what most people don't know, is it's really easy to get literature read if it's from a West Coast writer, or if it's literature represented by a West Coast agency, because
right.
usually you'll get a lot of things from the East, because everything is in New York and Chicago, all that kind of stuff, you know? So it's easy to get read by publishing houses and other relevant industry bigwigs if you say you're from the West. So that's what's in it for you. And what's in it for me is I get to say I've discovered you, which is kind of a claim to fame in and of itself. And I'm a fan of helping literature, obviously, because I was an English major, and I'm a big fan of helping good literature get the audience that it deserves.
What is it that you think that your degree in English from UC Davis in particular, how did it in particular prepare you for the sort of work you're doing now at the Veritas Literary Agency in San Francisco?
I think that it, I mean, in the program itself, we got to read a wide range of different stories and different books from various schools of writing. And I think that it's really opened me up to, I mean, to be more acceptant of different schools of writing that I don't necessarily practice or am a part of.
Right.
So I guess it's a tolerance thing, you know, whereas you get some people reading the slush pile who, for example, are very into Hemingway and that style, very historical kind of fiction or something like that. Or maybe they're really into young adult fiction. Or maybe they're really into sci-fi. Or maybe they're not into sci-fi. I'm not particularly into sci-fi. So if you get a story that you're not into, or a premise for a novel that doesn't sound like something you'd be particularly interested in, I think what you get from a person like that reading the slush pile is kind of immediate rejection. Or they'd go into reading it with a certain mindset already in place that would make it more easy for them to reject it. Whereas for me, I'm kind of open to anything. I just want to be told a good story. As long as the story is good, you draw me into your world and I get invested in your characters and in the story that you're telling, I'm all for it. And Davis has really helped me with that. I've met so many different people, so many different professors have helped me with just really broadening my definition of what literature is.
That's great. Do you want to shout out any names of particular literary heroes before we go to this important public service announcement break?
Pam Houston. I'm a big Pam Houston fan. Pam Houston, let's see. I had my Love and Desire professor, who actually teaches at American River, Harold Schneider. He really got me into poetry. You, of course, even though you're never officially my professor, but I worked for you for a while, and that was like my, I'm not really into poetry, but because I can't write it, it terrifies me. Most of the time I don't understand it, but poetry, yes, I got into that with Dr. Andy and with Harold Schneider. And then there was, of course, Ian Lee.
Who's wonderful and who's won awards and who's recently garnered the interest of, I think, was it Time Magazine, as one of the best young authors in America.
Yeah,
so
she's huge.
She is. She's a big deal. And whereas you may be discovering people, who knows if someday it'll be said that she discovered you, Jane Wilson.
Oh, I don't know. It's a long way off.
Maybe not too long. Jane, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, people at home, I'm sure, would love to hear some of your fiction. I'm going to ask if you'd be willing to read an excerpt from something that you've been working on.
Sure, sure.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and our guest this afternoon for the first half hour of the program is Jane Wilson of San Francisco, California. We're going to hear a quick public service announcement and a little bit more Cab Calloway, and then we'll be back to hear some fiction of Jane Wilson here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
Do you come on like Shorty, George, and me? Just feel some jive, we'll dig you out, you see.
Well, all right.
Are you ready?
Yes, we're ready, Joe.
Jumping steady.
Jumping steady, Joe.
You look solid, Joe. All I want to know, are you all right?
Yes, we're all right.
You can get it.
Can we get it?
If you said it.
Can we get it, Joe?
Come on, let me go. All I want to know, are you all right?
Yes, we're all right.
I'm like a tree, I'm all root. Hep to the Jeff, what is all right?
Jane Wilson is my guest this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. While we're in the middle of this break, I will remind you that Molly Fisk will be reading here in the city of Davis a week from this evening. Molly Fisk is a poet, she's an essayist, she's a workshop leader, and she is someone who has been active in the local poetry scene for a long time. She's also a poetry talk show host, so someone who shares some interest with this particular poet. Born in San Francisco, Molly Fisk earned her BA from Radcliffe College, her MBA from Simmons College Graduate School of Management, and she began writing at the age of 35. She's the author of a number of books, including Listening to Winter, The More Difficult Beauty, Terrain, and the letterpress chapbook Saltwater Poems. She's received a great number of prizes for her poetry, including fellowships from the National Endowment for the Arts, the California Arts Council, and the Marin Arts Council. And she's won a number of prizes, including the Dogwood Prize and the Robinson Jeffers Torhouse Prize in Poetry. She'll be reading a week from tonight, which is August 4th, starting at 8 o'clock at the Poetry Night Series here in the city of Davis. That'll be at Bistro 33 at 226 F Street. If you'd like to find out more, visit poetryindavis.com. Jane Wilson is my guest. She graduated from UC Davis in March, and she's been working hard since at the Veritas Literary Agency in San Francisco, as well as working hard on her own fiction, which I think even more people will be smiling upon, Jane, because of all the power that you now wield. What do you think?
Power. It's all about power. Power trips.
That's
power.
Good.
Bars, you know.
I'm glad that you learned that here at UC Davis. All right. So what is the piece of fiction or excerpt from a piece of fiction that you'd like to share with listeners this afternoon?
It took me a while to decide on, mostly because I haven't been writing anything new since I graduated. Unfortunately, I've been working on this one story. Well, not even just working on one story. Just the title actually took me about a month to come up with, so there hasn't been a lot of writing going on, but I did manage to find a story that I've never read before, and I don't think I've ever had any of my friends read ever, so it's new. It's making its debut right now.
Debut right here on the radio.
It's
a scoop for Dr. Andy on KDVS.
It's an exclusive.
There we
just
go.
Just for you.
And what's it called?
It's called Stripped.
Stripped. And because it took you a month to come up with that title, why don't you just say it to us one more time?
Stripped.
All right.
Yeah.
And do you want to say anything else as a way of introduction, or shall I just reintroduce you?
It's just, I guess the only thing you need to know is it's set in a photo booth.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is with Stripped, Jane Wilson.
There is a man inside the old black and white photo booth in the basement of Bubby's Pie Company restaurant and bar. He sits on the revolving vinyl seat of a metal stool with the red velvety curtain drawn open, his feet tapping out the drum beats of a god-awful Aerosmith song. He has donned himself this evening with an asparagus green paisley tie pulled meticulously into a full Windsor knot around the collar of an ironed white shirt. This he has tucked into the pants of a well-tailored black suit, the double-breasted jacket of which lies neatly across his lap. He is aware that he may be a bit overdressed, but this is okay, he thinks, because he has a plan. His head jerks every so often at the sound of approaching footsteps, and should he distinguish these as the clack of a woman's heels, he immediately repositions himself on his seat, the vinyl beneath him letting out a humiliating noise, and looks out the drawn curtains with the face of an altar boy. He comes every Friday night with the same woman, a moderately pretty creature with a thick, curly bob the color of cinnamon and teeth that she thinks too big, but that he admires. He admires her freckles, too, and her enthusiasm for pickles, strawberries, and tart things. She laughs often when she is with him and has taken to wearing practical shoes with only the slightest heel and modest dresses during these dinners, which he assumes, with more happiness than pride, to mean that in the 3 months they have been seeing each other, they have achieved a natural and intimate kind of comfort. He loves her, he's pretty sure of it, but of course, he has never told her this. They are dating, he and this woman, sort of. On these evenings, they meet promptly at 8 o'clock by the restaurant's front door, where he habitually leans in to kiss her on the cheek before offering his arm, and where she smiles in return, coiling her fingers around the inside of his elbow. They seat themselves by one of the windowed walls, usually one with a sidewalk view that looks out onto Tribeca's Hudson Street. And in this way, both of them sitting with one foot hooked behind the heel of the other, talking over plates of bacon-wrapped meatloaf and buttermilk fried chicken, he has come to know that she has a dog, Zane, in her family's home in Long Island, that she, like her late father, builds and collects model airplanes, and that she has a son, 8 years old, who still wets the bed on occasion. But they do not meet in between these Fridays to grab a late lunch, see a movie, or lounge in each other's apartments. He is allowed this one night a week, and though lately it's become a welcome routine for them to wander a bit to Tribeca after dinner with ice cream cones or paper cups of hot chocolate in their hands, their meetings remain short and confined to Bubby's and the neighborhood that surrounds it. And though she has also been accepting his offers to drive her home, he has never been inside. He has never called her, and knows her only as Francine, the name he answers with when Jen, the woman at the agency with a voice that even on the phone sounds of cigarettes, asks him who he would like to see. Even so, none of this particularly matters to him. They have met, and that is enough. The whys and hows are, to him, insignificant and forgivable technicalities. Down the hall from where he sits inside the photo booth, footsteps approach just as a digital watch on his wrist reminds him that it is 8 o'clock. But when they arrive, their owner is not Francine, but a man with a bald spot on his crown and a belly that droops well over the waist of his jeans, who turns his head nonchalantly towards the photo booth, frowns, and nods. The man nods back. He swallows as the man passes and glances at himself through the reflective glass covering the camera lens. He straightens his tie before reaching down to the attaché case between his tapping feet and removing a small navy blue box from inside. Tonight, he has a plan. Tonight, he has asked her to meet him in the basement of Bubby's, inside the vintage photo booth machine. And tonight, the last night he is scheduled to meet her, he will pry open the navy blue box as the first flash goes off in the photo booth machine and ask her to marry him. He had decided this 2 weeks ago, sitting at his back corner cubicle as Edward Sapp, his boss, an unfortunate man with large ears and halitosis, made small talk and asked him how he was liking his first 6 months in New York, if he had moved out of Clarence Rooney's guest room yet, and then told him not to worry because finding housing these days is like finding a woman who cooks for you on your first date and then doesn't call you a misogynist when you expect her to do it again. He then commended his hard work and asked him if he wouldn't like a larger desk in an office with four walls and a view of Seattle at their new branch, he said, where they could use his sharpness and speed, as well as his lack of personal distractions. He was told to think about it, but to consider the negotiable pay, the company expense account, and above all, the housing, which they had already lined up for him, a large one-bedroom loft apartment with floor-to-ceiling windows and hardwood floors. He had accepted at the end of the day, with a pit of dread digging itself deeper in his stomach, until he remembered that it was Friday, and as Francine congratulated him on his promotion and insisted that he let her pay for the celebratory cupcakes they purchased during their after-dinner walk, he thought that perhaps this was a part of his life in which he wouldn't have to start all over. So he had bought the ring a few days afterward, a princess-cut diamond set on an 18-carat white gold band with side stones that the sales lady had to try on for size. She will love it, but nonetheless, he knows that she will also scold him for the price tag. She had told him once, when he had given her a set of miniature race cars for her son, that she felt guilty sometimes with him. Why? You never want anything from me. He hadn't understood this at the time, but when she slowly began to pay for the desserts they would get on their walks, or surprise him with a squeeze of his hand, or a kiss she herself would initiate, he assumed that it had something to do with this, with the guilt. Okay, I think I'll end there.
That was great, Jane. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Makes me want to read more.
That was the plan.
Are you going to let us know when we can find this in a journal or anthology near us?
Absolutely. It might be a while, but I will, definitely, yeah.
That's great. Let's remind folks that my guest this afternoon is Jane Wilson. That's spelled J-A-Y-N-E. Jane Wilson. She is a fiction writer and a recent graduate of UC Davis. She's working in San Francisco in a literary agency. And Jane, what do you imagine for yourself in terms of professional accomplishments or discoveries over the next year or two?
What I expect or what I want?
What you should be planning for.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully I'll put in a couple more months at the agency, and then by next December I'll be applying to various MFA programs if I finally decide that I'm ready to study for the GRE. Not even take the GRE, just study. It's an intimidating thought. So I'll be doing that, and I guess just keeping up with my blogs and trying to write as much as humanly possible while I'm wasting away at I also have a second job, which is I work in the women's shoe department at Nordstrom. It's a little bit like Chinese water torture, but it pays the bills.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, it's very impressive of you in this Obama economy to create not just one but two jobs. And to work them both yourself. So
yeah.
If only all of us would follow your lead, as I suppose I do, then imagine how many jobs we could save or create.
It would help. Yeah.
It would.
It would help me get, you know, well, I think of one as like my fun job, but my career job, and then one as the necessary job, because I'm sure as most English majors know, yeah, we have a hard time trying to get paid.
Absolutely. But obviously you're either socking some money away or paying some rent or, you know, eating complete meals.
I am. I'm living in my parents' house, so that helps a little bit with the bills.
Absolutely. Well, Jane Wilson, thank you so much for taking some time this afternoon to share with us some of your fiction and the stories of your recent successes since March. I will continue to keep tabs on you, and we'll make sure to have you back for a quick celebration of either your next publication or your next discovery.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You did a good job, Jane. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jane Wilson. She's a recent graduate of the UC Davis English program. She was the longtime and founding fiction editor of UC Davis's Nameless magazine, and now she's working at the Veritas Literary Agency in San Francisco. Stick around because Bryony Gilgaten is here in the studio. She is a Davis-based poet. We're going to hear some of her work and find out her perspective on also being a graduate of UC Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Walking up the street, acting big and bold, but deep down in my pockets, I had no gold. Was looking kind of sad when before my eyes was a $1 million bill that must have fell out the skies. I said, Hey now. Took this $1 million and looked for more. Got halfway up the block and I took it real, real slow. And much to my surprise, I was knocked right out when I met a little chick who knew what life was all about. I said, a great big car, and every day I'm getting more popular. So use these magic words that can see you through when you ain't got no goal and you don't know what to do. Say hey now.
Listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Dr. Andy. Thanks very much for tuning in this afternoon. I have an important message to share with you, and that is this. Executive Concrete and Landscape reminds us that AIDS is a serious disease that can be frightening because we lack accurate information. Fortunately, medical researchers are learning more about this condition every day, and there's great hope that a cure will be found. In the meantime, the more that we learn about AIDS, the better protected we are. This reminder is brought to you by the staff at Executive Concrete and Landscape, serving the Sacramento area. They're online at executiveconcrete.com and on the air because they care about the people in this community. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. I'd like to remind you that this is one of 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on KDVS. Some of my other favorites include, well, they're all my favorites, of course, but some of them include shows such as It's About You with Franz. Franz is a delightful person with a heart of gold and a great amount of receptivity, imagination, and empathy. All necessary elements not only for a talk show host, but also for a poet. Well, Franz's show, It's About You, features interviews with people whose books you're hearing people talk about on NPR and at all of the best cocktail parties. If you want to find out more about this show, tune in Monday mornings at 8:30 to hear Franz reveal if it's all about you. This afternoon, it's all about recent graduates of creative writing programs, undergraduate creative writing and English programs here at the University of California at Davis. My next guest here on the radio show is Bryony Gilgaton. Bryony Gilgaton, another UC Davis graduate, has won multiple awards for her poetry, including placing second in the 2010 Ina Kulbrith Memorial Poetry Prize and placing for both creative writing categories. For both creative writing categories in the 2010 Pamela Mouse Contest for creative writing, winning first in fiction and second in poetry. Her creative writing honors thesis, a manuscript of poetry about psychological disorders, was awarded the 2010 Elliot Gilbert Memorial Prize for Best Undergraduate Honors Creative Work. Bryony worked for 2 years as the senior poetry editor for Nameless Magazine, her reign being marked as having far less free pizza than Jane's as fiction editor. I guess they have to dole out that pizza carefully. She's taken over Jane's work as head of public relations for the Poetry Night reading series, and now she's learning a great deal about, in addition to other topics, web design. And she joins me here in the studio. Bryony Gilgaton, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, thanks for coming by. So you went out with a bang as a graduate here at UC Davis, winning a slew of awards, having not only your poetry recognized, which we might expect, but also your fiction.
Yeah, that came as a bit of a surprise.
So let's say something about that, because we just heard from Jane Wilson, who is a fiction maven. What was it that you presented to the folks at the Pamela Mouse Contest to have your fiction awarded first prize here at UC Davis?
Well, I've only written one story in my entire life that isn't bad fan fiction. So I wrote this story, and I just decided to submit it on a whim. And it was a little bit awkward in our house because I live with Jane. And so Jane was up for the award of fiction, and I was up for the award of fiction and poetry. And our third housemate was up for the award of poetry. So we all knew that someone was going to go home sad that day. But luckily there's no love lost there.
I'm sure, because you came in first in poetry.
Fiction.
Excuse me. First in fiction, second in poetry. And your other roommate, who I think was Teresa, came in first in poetry.
Yes.
So it's like a star-studded apartment.
Was.
And I'm sure that other creative writers would like to know the address so that they could move in after you all move out and get some of that positive mojo. But we're not going to tell them. Because I think you're still there. Bryony Gilgaton, you've been focusing, so you wrote that one story which won an award, but really you've been focusing on your poetry.
Yes, that was.
How would you, I mentioned a little bit your work that was awarded the 2010 Elliot Gilbert Memorial Prize for Best Undergraduate Honors Creative Work. I should say as an aside, you know I knew Elliot Gilbert.
Yes.
He passed away. It'll be 20 years this January, but a delightful man, jovial, friendly, caring for undergraduates, and an inspirational chair of the English department.
I feel very positively about him.
I'm sure you do. But how would you characterize your poetry, the poetry that you're working on all the time?
I think it's very dreamlike and bizarre, which is why the psychological disorder aspect came so naturally, mm-hmm. because I like that my poetry is a little bit distanced from reality, and I want the experience of reading my poetry is that you read it and you feel something really strongly, but you're not quite certain what's making you feel that way, and that I think connects to the psychological disorders, is that you're forced to feel something, but you're not quite certain why that is.
So I guess the follow-up question would be, how are some of the ways that you achieve that dreamlike state? Certainly, logic becomes less important when you're representing dreaminess.
It's very free form. My style of writing is just to completely, you know, just do a free write of whatever I'm thinking at the time. So it connects organically to what's going on. And oftentimes, you know, a phrase will happen or I'll misspell something. I'm like, oh, that means something more important than what I was originally trying to say. So I try very hard not to focus on actually saying something, but let it come out of just randomness, I suppose.
So with the misspelling, it might be that, say, Freud would say, well, you meant to misspell that.
Yes.
You meant to say this other thing. So follow up on that and see what you can do with that. Great. And are there certain poets in particular who you see as your, who you turn to when you think of this sort of poetry? I guess influences is what I'm trying to say.
You know, that's always such an awkward question when someone asks you your favorite poets. Because, like, if someone asks you if you like Hemingway, that's going to say a huge amount about your character.
Right.
So I'm just going to talk about who I'm reading right now, which is I'm trying to depart from being completely nonsensical. So right now, but I still want that energy. So I've been reading a lot of Lucille Clifton, who has that kind of exciting energy. So she's currently my muse because I'm trying to transform into something a little bit more clear, which has also been what I've been doing because I've been working with the Professor Alan Williamson, who is very good at getting to the root of what I'm saying. And instead of just, you know, accepting it as a poem, saying, Briony, what are you actually trying to say here? Because nobody's going to understand it.
Right. That's good. One of my favorite poems of my own, which appeared in my first book, it was only after bringing it to workshop that Alan pointed out to me what it was about, which is something I hadn't known heretofore. And now, of course, you know, I think, well, of course it's about that. It's not just about the oversimplified subject that it seems to be about. Or so says the great Alan Williamson. Briony Gilgaten is here in the studio with me on KDVS. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're talking about her work as a poet. What is your writing schedule like these days?
Well, I'm trying to stay pretty constant because I think waiting for inspiration to hit you is not really a good way of actually getting writing done. And I'm trying to finish my manuscript by end of November. So currently I set aside 2 hours a day, 3 days a week, and I just sit down and force myself to write or edit old stuff. And it really helps a lot. I mean, I've started this about 3 weeks ago, and I've written a lot more poems than I would have written in the past 3 months when I haven't been writing. So I think setting up a schedule works really, really well for me.
So you almost have to adopt the schedule of a professional writer, even though one normally thinks that inspiration is very important for a poet
yes.
to function well.
Yes.
That makes sense. All right, Briony Gilgaten is here. We're going to hear a quick musical break, and then when we return, I'll ask Briony to share with you one of her poems. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Here's some more Cab Calloway.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give with the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate too. Here's catch a Tori Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house. I fix your favorite dishes, hoping this good food fills ya. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone. You better eat if it kills ya. Pass me a pancake, mandrake. Having a derby, irby. Look in the fendel, mendel. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
If this particular song is making you hungry, then you might want to head to the Davis Farmers Market, our country's favorite large farmers market. The Davis Farmers Market offers dozens of vendors who would be very pleased to share with you their produce, popcorn, foodstuffs, etc. I mention this because I'm going to go home, grab two out of my three children, and then return to 3rd and C Streets take about 15 minutes to find a parking spot, and then walk over to the Davis Farmers Market, where there is live music tonight and all-you-can-eat food, as long as you're willing to pay. This is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Thanks very much to Cab Calloway for providing us the music. This song, not surprisingly, is called Everybody Eats When They Come to My House. It's from the CD called Are You Hep to the Jive? It's a rhythm and soul record with 22 sensational tracks on the Legacy Rhythm and Soul series. Bryony Gilgaten is here in the studio, and we are talking about poetry this afternoon. She has won multiple awards for her poetry, many of them in the last year, and yet you wouldn't know when you see her walking down the street that we've got a multiple award-winning poet right there on the sidewalk. She's been working on some new work, on some old work, and I've asked her if she'd be willing to come by the studio this afternoon and share some of it with you. Bryony, what is the name of the poem that you would first like to share with listeners?
I'll be reading a poem called Running, which is in keeping with my new kind of born out of chaos, keep with the freedom.
Excellent. Method. Let's hear Running.
In big woods, big, so big the sky heaved between like pumping lungs, squeezed through me like accordion music, the bellow sky breathing, run. I don't stop. Desert whips as fast red cliffs, but I don't stop. Jumping choya springs, my legs ache for prying with comb teeth, but I don't stop. I running past windsplit cacti, ornery thorn that I am, I can't stop yet. I running through Midwest frown houses, white shackle boards, over rivers like ditches, irrigation, wheels spitting water, I running. Don't stop, the sky wails big over me, so big the sky, I running. I don't stop yet. The sky runs with me, runs down the edges. Don't stop, sky says. Run the big places, run the big spaces, don't stop. And I won't stop until I am big, so big, big lungs that can heave with sand and branches. I won't stop until no place is big, no space is big enough, until I big, too big to hold. I running, I becoming so big with places inside me. The sky runs with me. Keep running, sky, don't stop until we are so big. Sky, don't stop running with me. All the spaces are so big, the forest so big, and desert so big, the chaparral and clifflands. The space inside me so big. What did you do to me, sky? Don't stop running. Sky, don't you dare stop running inside me.
Bryony Gilgaten is my guest here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Tell me again the title of that poem.
Running.
That poem was Running. Are you yourself a runner?
No.
No.
I am a kickboxer.
All right. Everyone's got to have a sport. So yours is kickboxing rather than running.
I find it more productive.
You confront your concerns rather than evading them.
Yes.
Excellent. Bryony Gilgaten is a poet and recent graduate of UC Davis. That was wonderful. Why don't we, because we're running short on time, why don't we just dive right into another one?
Okay.
Do you have one queued up there?
I do indeed. Okay. This one is called Die Sexualität der Objekte, which is German for the sexuality of objects.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. Die Brücke. I am a woman, and this is a bridge, and despite our vast differences, we are very much in love. Das Messer. A woman in Sweden lives with 9 cats and her lover, the guillotine, who has taken 9 lives of her and transformed them into cats to rasp against her ankles and hand-embroidered slippers. Der Carnival. I love the roundness of his counterweights at the top. I love him for the narrowness of his jibs. I love him for the elegant lines of his gondola, which is now covered up for the winter. I like the ribbing coming up underneath his main display, the parallel lines coming down. I love that. Der Bogen. A girl with a bow on a bed. The world-class archer, just like Robin Hood or Arthur with Excalibur. When she and her bow fall out of love, she will still compete, but she will slowly slip in ranks. Die Objekte. Is the Berlin Wall male or female? The Eiffel Tower chose her own gender. When we became away from our language, we lost gendered nouns. We began to love objects for practical purposes only.
That's great. As a poet whose second language is German, have you done any translating?
No, I have not, though I assume that would be an interesting menu to explore.
Absolutely. Are there German poets that you particularly like?
No. I should have them, though.
Well, you can add that to your bucket list of German poets to check out. I think you mentioned Rilke in that poem, didn't you?
No.
No? You mentioned a word that rhymes with Rilke.
That is likely.
Okay. Excellent. And did you learn German in school? Why did you choose German as a second language?
My sister took German as a second language, so we wanted to both learn it so we could talk behind my parents' backs.
And did you indeed do that?
We did indeed.
Excellent. So I'm glad that motivation works. Can you all still speak German to one another?
She speaks very fluently, but I'm not quite so good anymore. In fact, I had to send that to her to make sure that German was correct.
Right. But you could probably listen in German a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, that's good. Das Boot is a great movie to help you, continue to keep German in your ears.
We watched it in my German class, but we watched it with subtitles, so it was less successful as
right.
a teaching tool.
But, you know, now with this new DVD technology, you could watch it any number of ways.
You could.
And you know, force yourself to learn all that submarine terminology.
Very useful.
Absolutely. Bryony Gilgaten is here in the studio, and we're talking, for some reason, about German submarines on Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to remind you that a week from tonight, you'll be able to see Molly Fisk read. Molly Fisk is a wonderful poet whose work I have admired for a number of years, because she has been active in not only poetry, but the worlds of radio and other media technologies. She is a frequent host of radio shows, hers and others, and also a frequent guest, at KVMR, which is the Nevada City Public Radio Station, of which I am a big fan. And you've also been able to hear her work on the California Report on KQED out of San Francisco. She'll be reading on August 4th at 8 p.m. at Bistro 33. That's at 226 F Street here in the city of Davis. There'll be an open mic that starts at 9 o'clock. If you want to find out more about Molly Fisk, then point your browser at MollyFisk, FISK.com. My name is Andy Jones, and we'll be right back with the concluding thoughts and one more short poem from Bryony Gilgaten on tonight's Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around.
Yes, yes, yes. Are you full of pep?
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you heppa, heppa?
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you full of steppa? What do you know, Gate? Are you in the know or are you a solid bringer down? Listen here, Jack. Take it slow and you can learn just what I mean. Are you hep to the jive?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you hep to the jive?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you hep? Are you hep? Are you keeping it step? Are you hep to the jive? Do you lace your boots high?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you fly or you fly? Do you dig, do you dig, do you swing on the gig? Are you hep to the jive? Do you get in the groove? Does the beat make you move? Do you send yourself jacking and trilling your back?
There are many ways to measure success. For the Shriners, it's the nearly 700,000 children with orthopedic and burn problems that they've helped. This is Ricardo Montalban. For over 80 years, the Shriners have provided state-of-the-art medical care to kids all over North America, totally free of charge. There is a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child that the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Andy with some important information for you, potentially. Tipsy Taxi provides a safe ride home to UC Davis undergraduates from anywhere in the city of Davis to anywhere else within the city of Davis. Tipsy Taxi runs Friday and Saturday nights during the academic school year from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Call 530-752-6666 for more information. A public service message from KDVS. We here at KDVS know that you're hep to the jive if you're tuning in to 90.3 FM on a Wednesday afternoon. My name is Dr. Andy. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Make sure you keep your radio dial right here after this show to hear some great music. But right now we've got time for just one more short poem from my poet in the studio, Bryony Gilgaton. Bryony, what have you chosen for us?
I have chosen Short Story About an Ordinary Man, which is not a short story, but a poem.
Excellent. Let's hear your poem.
William likes to play Canfield and write about small objects like woodland creatures with little yes eyes, bright as pine nuts tarred up, with frilled hairs and tiny paws and the clicking nails on them. He lives in Idaho, green and garbled, with its flatland hills and houses and tails of grass and wheat tufting up. William too often feels like he is wearing some other man's body, like badly fitting boots, which insist on pinching him. In the mirror, William thinks his nose is the shape of a lopsided tumor or a half-deflated balloon, and he whittles his hours watching it, shavings of time curled on the sink like tiny claws. William thinks his nose cannot be his own, as his tails are his own of this little chipmunk has a bright little nose that twitches and glints, which he writes in Idaho, which is where Scribner's panic grass blooms. It grows all around William's little house wrapped in the close sky and blooms in spring when all grasses and wheats bloom, when ground squirrels are most brazen and bedizened, when William takes a ball-peen hammer, which is usually used for setting rivets, to his nose and splits it open like a flushed kernel of wheat.
That was Bryony Gilgaton here on KDVS's Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Bryony, thanks very much. I really enjoyed hearing your poetry, and I appreciate you coming on the radio show today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well done. I'd also like to thank Jane Wilson, who was the longtime fiction editor of Nameless Magazine, and now is an associate. What was her title? Do you remember what her title was?
Something fancy.
She is something fancy at the Veritas Literary Agency. If you're sending Veritas your works of fiction, your works of nonfiction, then it might be Jane Wilson who sees them before anyone else. So thanks very much to Jane. Jane and Bryony both are recent graduates of UC Davis, and so no doubt we will have many occasions in the coming years and decades of having them return to KDVS and to your favorite poetry and technology program, this one. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you next week for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Have a good week.